Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Laquelo Monthly Teleconference on Monday, 21 January at 23 UTC. On the call today, we have on the English channel Roosevelt King, Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Dev Anantilasing, Niran Behari. On the Spanish channel, we have José Arce, Humberto Carrasco, Silvia Herlin-Lizzi, Aida Nioga, Sergio Salinas Porto, Juan Manuel Rojas, Andres Piazza, Gilberto Lara, and Wanda Scarzettini.
Michelle Mario.
We have apologies from Sintra Supnana, Javier José Palero, and Jacqueline Maurice. From staff, we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Julia Charvelin, and our interpreters are Veronica and Sabrina. May I remind all participants to please state their name before speaking for transcription purposes and speak at a reasonable pace to allow accurate interpretation. Thank you very much, and over to you.
José Arce speaking for the record. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this Laquelo monthly teleconference in January. Welcome to the participants in on the English and Spanish channels. Following with our capacity building sessions, it is a great pleasure for me to introduce Andres Piazza, who will be joining us today. For those who do not know him, he is the former Laquelo chair, and he is a personal friend whom I appreciate, and professionally he has grown exponentially of late, and he has made some time for us today. He is LACNIC's public affairs officer. So Andres, I would like to thank you for joining us on this Laquelo monthly call. I want to welcome you, and if you want, you have the floor. Andres Piazza speaking. Thank you, José. I am overwhelmed by your introductory remark. I just want to say something along the same lines of what I said last week when I attended the webinar. I was very lucky to be invited by AtLarge, and I am very lucky to have been invited now by Laquelo. I feel honored to participate in these events. Please feel free to contact me anytime. I feel part of the community, although today I participate from another stakeholder group that is a registry, and I represent that registry. But I am really happy to share information with you on behalf of my organization, and since I represent a regional organization that is almost as large as Laquelo in terms of extension, except for Jamaica and Barbados and some Caribbean countries, well, we comprise the same countries as Laquelo. We are a similar organization to Laquelo. So this, in a way, is somewhat an act of accountability, and not only an act of support to Laquelo. I see many friends on the call, so here goes a warm welcome to all of them. Sergio Salinas speaking. Andres, it's a pleasure to hear you. José Arce speaking. We have invited Andres as our guest speaker to address a specific topic, that is the RIR's performance in our region, and I had asked Andres to deliver a 10-minute presentation to let the region know what happened at the wicket, that is to share the Latin American standpoint from that meeting. So Andres, feel free to use your time in any way you feel like, so whenever you are ready, we are. Andres Piazza speaking. There are 2 points that called my attention along these lines. As I was saying, these topics are related to our work and have an impact on what we do and are of interest to you. But as you know, LACNIC is the IP address registry on a regional level, and the Internet policy development process has a home at ICANN that is devoted to names and numbers. Policies related to numbers are concentrated or focused on the five RIRs. So these regional registries are the places where these policies are defined. So in terms of information flow and access, it's interesting to see the LACRALO or ADLART in ICANN as a recipient of our information. There are many topics that I would like to address from the point of view of a regional internet registry, but in our specific case, we participate in international fora, among many other activities. But today, I have to address the topic of the year, if you wish, or if you will, that is the depletion of IPv4 addresses or the depletion of the IPv4 pool. So this year, 2013, is a key year because it has to do mainly with the evolution of the last IPv4 addresses. We know that IPv6 is a new protocol, but this new protocol does not exist 1% of Internet traffic. That is, 1% of Internet traffic is IPv6. So first of all, we need to take into account the number of operators, that is, content and access providers, that have IPv6 addresses allocated. This is important in all the regions. In our region, we have a high rate of allocation. However, traffic is the most important factor. And traffic so far, or to date, is not that important. We have the milestones of the IPv4 depletion. The first milestone took place in February 2011 in a meeting held in Miami where the last /48 were allocated. That is, the last IPv4 pools available in IANA. They were finally exhausted. That was a global policy that was or had been agreed upon in the policy fora in the five regions. That is, how to manage the /48, the last available /48. So the five policy fora agreed on how to proceed, and in addition to that, a global policy was developed. After that, at the beginning of 2012, the Asia-Pacific registry depleted its addresses, and that has been the case with Europe as well. So perhaps the registry that is better positioned is the North American registry, and the registry in Latin America and the Caribbean is in a somewhat interesting position. We have recovered some addresses, so we have a higher stock, if you will. So we have, or we used to have, 3/48 until very recently, but given the dramatic rate of growth in our region, in LACNIC, we have addresses that we can allocate until September next year. However, September next year is a date based on a mathematical calculation on the basis of their daily and weekly allocation of addresses and on the basis of the remaining addresses. However, if that rate were faster, then we would deplete the addresses at a faster pace. So 2013 is a key year in terms of IPv6 depletion. If we have no more numeric resources, then we cannot allocate any more addresses. So we face growth issues. We may have more connections, but those would be possible by means of a technique that uses a fewer addresses in order to achieve a higher number of connections, but that is not advisable, and there is an overall consensus in the internet community in that regard. At least this is not ideal for great traffic internet carriers. This wouldn't be advisable at all. We cannot foresee what will happen with the addresses in the region, but we have hundreds of millions of people in the region. Sergio Salinas speaking. Andres, could you please slow down so that we can grasp the content of your presentation? Thank you. Andres Piazza speaking. Of course, of course. So, as I was saying, we cannot determine the need for the next three-year period in the region, but we have 640 million inhabitants, and we will have 120 million more users incorporated. So, Andres Piazza speaking. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, I continue then. I go on. So, as I was saying, we have a higher number of users, but we have more devices in the hands of users, and we see a change in the patterns of behavior, and these users will change their behavioral patterns in the coming years in a very significant way. We will have IP connections that will not require a physical user. So we do not know what behaviors will change, but we do know that some or many behaviors will change, and there will be IP connections that will not require a user. So in addition to the higher number of devices and users, we will see that the network will continue to grow, and the only way ahead is IPv6. So ALSs need to work with their internet communities, with their users' communities, with their governments in each country. Of course, we have engineers in LACNIC, so feel free to contact us to get training or help. Having said this, I would like to speak about our experience at the Wicket regarding the Dubai Treaty. And excuse me for speaking so far, because I have 30 minutes allocated and I have already used 15 minutes, so time is of the essence. Jose Arce speaking. Andres, sorry for the interruption. I just wanted to say that I wanted you to share your experiences in Dubai, but before that, if there are any questions on your presentation regarding LACNIC, then I will open the floor to questions, and after that we will proceed to discuss the Wicket experience. Jose, this is Sergio Salinas speaking. I cannot access the AC room, so therefore I cannot put up my hand. I am deeply concerned about the advancement or the progress of IPv6 in the region. It's happening at a very slow pace. I know that Andres has to interact with governments so that start deploying IPv6 in their countries. Maybe, Andreas, we can... or is it possible to have a view or an overview of this situation? Will we be using IPv6 in 2014 altogether? Andreas Piazza speaking. Sir, thank you very much for that comment. That's a very good question. On the one hand, we have 1% of world traffic. That is true. However, we also have important levels of allocation of IP addresses. Let us take LACNIC, for instance. We have members that receive addresses from LACNIC. 100% are large users and concentrate 50% of the traffic, and they all use IPv6. They have been allocated IPv6 addresses. So all LACNIC members, be they large users like universities or final users, well, they have free IPv6. They have had that for 3 years now, and that has been extended until mid-next year, mid-2014. And that is the case in the other regional internet registries as well. Both for content and access providers, we see that they have IPv6 addresses available. We have trained more than 12,000 engineers to date. These engineers work for telecommunications regulators and large and medium-sized operators. Engineers have been trained, they have attended tutorials, they have attended practice sessions. We have an online lab so that people can resort to our emulators, our online platform at LACNIC. We have routing simulators available. So that is an online platform dedicated to capacity building on this topic. We have an agreement with CITEL, that is the OAS telecommunications agency. We have trained the Americas, we have trained the Caribbean, we have trained the US and Canada, although not all the Caribbean is a member of LACNIC, because some Caribbean countries are also members of ARIN. So, even though 1% of global traffic has massive IPv6, this does not mean that... Yes, I know, I will slow down. This does not mean that this is so negative, that the situation is that negative. It is far more promising than what we believe. Some decision makers can clearly promote or encourage the deployment of IPv6 at a regional level. From the point of view of governments, some governments such as Ecuador, Colombia, and Cuba have established IPv6, and some others are willing to do so. I have met regulators in Costa Rica and Peru, and they are willing to deploy IPv6. So is the case in Chile, Brazil, Argentina, and Mexico. So, also the Dominican Republic. So I couldn't say that IPv6 is advancing at a slow pace. What needs to be taken is the very last step. Surely, before the end of 2014, we will be seeing a soft landing policy. So the very last addresses will be allocated to the current LACNIC members. However, if new members crop up and they need new connections, they will be allocated some IPv4 addresses as per community policies. And we need to take into account that we need to adopt a solution, and clearly the solution needs to be IPv6. There are companies that provide equipment, and they provide or supply IPv6 routers. So They do not have a specific preference. We at LACNIC, we are a public interest organization, and we are focused or interested in deploying IPv6 and spreading that. So we want to advocate IPv6 implementation mainly. Sergio Salinas speaking. Thank you, Andres, for your comment. Jose Arce speaking. I think Vanda is asking for the floor. So, Vanda, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Vanda, you have the floor. Jose Arce speaking. I don't know if Vanda is connected. Is she on the call? Vanda speaking. Okay. I am somewhat concerned about changes in the ISPs, that is the Internet Service Providers, the changes that they will have to make in order to offer IPv6. So, Andres, my question is the following. What about LACNIC? Are they or are you focusing on a presentation so that ISPs in Latin America and the Caribbean will be adequately trained in order to make these changes, because we have ISPs in regions that are not very close to important or large centers or hubs. So is there information available on LACNIC's website in order to train these ISPs so that they can learn about the changes needed to migrate to IPv6. Thank you. Andres Piazza speaking. Thank you, Vanda. There are two things or aspects to take into account in order to move forward. First of all, we have to focus on information on IPv6, on our internal IPv6 and external ones. I will post a link with information on this topic so that you can access further information, and of course feel free to contact me at any time. Right now, as I speak, before this call is over, I will post information available on this topic. Vanda speaking, thank you very much, because this is important. Andres Piazza speaking, there is an IPv6 portal, and I will post that link on the chat. Sylvia Herlane speaking. Andres, have you finished with your reply? This is Sylvia Herlane speaking. I wanted to read a question posted by Gilberto Lara. He says, who is responsible of the IPv6 deployment in each country? Is it the government, the ISPs, the regulator? Who is in charge of that? Andres Piazza speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. I am reading Gilberto's question. I think it's really relevant. Basically, everybody plays a role. Internet is a bottom-up process in terms of protocols, and we have different communities. Well, the same applies here. We have governments and policy makers. We have independent regulators. They have a role. Maybe their role is not to force, but to promote IPv6. In Colombia, for example, the state is saying that only the state or the government can procure or purchase IPv6 compatible equipment. Then we may have courses of studies at universities, and also operators have the obligation to invest or to think about a strategy to keep growing or else to migrate to IPv6, to initiate that migration or to strengthen it. So we also have users, associations that can exert some influence, and I hope they can do so in their respective countries. Jose Arthur speaking. Thank you, Andres. I don't know if there are any further questions. Roosevelt? He's typing. He has typed something. Is there anybody else that would like to ask a question of Andres regarding the regional internet registry? Okay. So, Andres, can you, in 5 or 10 minutes, let us know what happened in Dubai last year? Can you share this with the community, with the region? You also participated in the at-large webinar on this topic that was hosted last week. So if you can give us your or present your views in 5 or 10 minutes on this topic, I would appreciate it. Andres Piazza speaking. Thank you, Jose. Once again, I thank you for this invitation to participate, to join the webinar. Nigel Hickson, Avery Doria, Bill Drake, and Olivier were also on the webinar. My view was but one view. Please listen to the audio, to the webinar's audio, if you're interested in this discussion. However, I would like to quickly present my view, and of course I am open to questions. There has been plenty of information on this topic. We have worked with governments, with our regional delegates in the WICKED. We have worked in the 3 preparatory meetings for the Americas. Our region was the Americas region, the OAS region. The meetings took place in Washington, in Buenos Aires, and in Salvador. And then I myself, the meeting in Port of Spain, so I attended the 4 prep meetings prior to the Toronto meeting. So, in all, as it happens in all, in every WICKED, we see that the region's view regarding the openness of the internet, the multi-stake holder model of internet governance, the role of governments, well, in that regard, the region perhaps did not take a leading role, but it did play an important role in terms of forming consensus and in terms of a very significant commitment in the region towards the multi-stakeholder model. Oh, thank you. I see that Dev has posted the link to the webinar, the post-WICKED webinar that took place on the 17th. At least we have the audio available, so thank you, Dev. Anyway, what I want to say is that countries in our regions, both the ones that signed the treaty and the ones that did not, and the ones that signed in Latin America and the Caribbean are the majority, CITEL was in favor of adopting the text, then Costa Rica strongly defended the multi-stakeholder model and refused to sign. And we have 3 more countries that did not adopt, or rather adopted the text, but did not sign it on the following day. These countries were Peru, Chile, and Colombia. These countries, all the countries from Latin America and the Caribbean, were holding a strong view of advocating the multi-stakeholder model of the openness of the internet, of advocating the values that we have been advocating from LACNIC, at least, during this debate. Before and after the WCID, or WCID, sorry. Then we also have to focus on transparency. We saw plenty or a very important participation of the internet community. We had ICANN, ISOC, the regional internet registries. They were all present in Dubai. ISOC had nearly 10 people attending, and to mention but one example, representatives participated in national delegations. So this is important so that the ITU will have a more transparent and open process. That was readily accepted and plausible from the beginning. We could say that the process was a very transparent process, considering it was a multilateral, multi-government treaty. However, towards the end, transparency was somewhat obscured. So, for those of you that are familiar with the process of an international treaty, this meant or seemed to be a significant advancement, but if we compare that with the openness and transparency of the decision-making processes in the internet communities, in the IETF, in the RIRs, well, we see that these are far more transparent and open. So it was worth noting that. Then, on a separate note, we see LACNIC's standpoints and LACNIC's official comments that, of course, I will submit to your consideration. This is simply my view, and it's different from the views reflected in the press. This is a positive view on the work being done in the internet. I think the region is going along the right path in terms of the internet. This is at least LACNIC's view. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Andres. I think you have given us a very good and excellent summary. I don't know if participants want to ask for the floor on the AC, if you want to pose a question to Andres regarding what happened at the WCID. The floor is open.
This is Jose Arce speaking again. Well, there seems to be no questions. Jose Arce speaking again. Well, having no question, we thank Andres for having participated in this call and for having shared with us his time. Andres, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for us to have you here, and we will call you for a future speeches. Thank you very much. This is Andres Diazzo speaking. Thank you very much, Jose. This is Andres Diazzo speaking. I repeat, it was a pleasure for me to participate in Agralo. I feel at home. So please take me into account to participate in any topic related to LACNIC or the internet, or to participate in the IGF. I am at your disposal and at your request. Thank you very much. This is Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Andres. Go ahead, Andres, please. This is Andres Piazza. I would like to thank Fatima and Jose for their invitation. This is Jose Arce speaking again. Thank you very much, Andres, and a round of applause for you at a distance. At least I will share the applause with you on the AC room. Now we will go on with this call. The following topic on the agenda is welcome to the first ALS from the Uruguay. We are happy to have this ALS. This is a new ALS that has been approved. I know that Aida Noblia is one of the representatives of this ALS in Uruguay. She is on the call. Aida, I would like give you the floor for you to, well, tell us about your ALS and what are your expectations for participating in this region and to work together with the rest of the ALSs. So we would like to share your views. Hello, can you hear me? This is Aida José Arce. Go ahead, Aida. This is Aida Noblia speaking. Good night to everyone. I don't want to take much time. I'm very happy, or we are very happy to participate here, to participate in this organization in Raleigh in ICANN. As ALS is this appointment, well, I would like to share with you the greetings from the chair and the secretariat of the ALS. It's an honor for us. This Association of Notary Publics is composed of 6,000 notary publics, active notary publics, apart from the individual users who are related to register the registries. The association webpage, in case you're interested in visiting it, is www.aeu.org, and there you will see legal information where you can find information about the registries, libraries, databases that are available for the users. So we have very intensive use of internet in this association, as well as in the working committees that we have. I don't want to take much time from you, but I would like to say that we have been focusing on internet in terms of the tools, legal tools, and notary public tools that are required. So now we are available and willing to work in the development of these issues in ATLAC, in at large, and to learn about the different issues that you deal with, which are new for us. So, as I said before, it's a pleasure for us to be here with you. Thank you very much, and this is the greetings that I had to say, and we are at your disposal for any questions. This is José Arce speaking. So Aida, welcome. On behalf of the region Lac Ralo, I welcome you, I formally welcome you. Of course, we will have time, but is there any questions from the region? We can devote 2 minutes to this. Of course, we will be working with you, and you can count on any person of the region in case you have any doubt in terms of the tools that we use or in terms of the activities that we develop. So you can have advice in terms of our region and so on. This is Aida speaking. Thank you very much. What we can do is this. We can be willing to working, and this is what we are doing inside the association and outside as well. So as I said before, we are at your disposal, and thank you very much for your warm welcome. This is José Arce speaking. So thank you very much, Aida. Welcome. Is there any comment or questions in terms of this issue? Does anyone would like to make a question to Aida? 1, 2, 3. Okay, so let's go on. I see Andres Piazza posted something he would like to greet, special greetings from Raúl Echeverría for the community, the Agroalo community. So thank you very much, Andres. Thank you, Raúl. In December, I had the opportunity to be in Uruguay and be in the Internet Association, and I know Andres and Raúl, who work there in Uruguay. Well, they give me a very warm welcome. And so it is worth mentioning that if some of you may go to Uruguay, well, you can go and visit them. Other topic I would like to mention before moving forward is something that came out of the list, the Lacralo list. I think Banden mentioned that. One of the members, Fatima Cambronero, was elected as a candidate by the ISOC to be part of a group, as an advisory group for the UN Secretariat. So I would like to seize this opportunity to congratulate Fatima on this. This is part of a work of the work of the members, not only in the region but in other fora of the region. So this improves the Lacralo participation. So thank you, Fatima, for your work. And this is due to her effort in the process of policy development. So, Fatima, congratulations on behalf of Lacralo. This is Fatima speaking. Hello, Jose. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing that information on the list. Jose Arso speaking. Congratulations, Fatima, because we know it's a very important decision. It's something very good for you, and we are very happy that someone from our region belongs to this. So point number five on the agenda, that is the regional strategic plan, taking into account the past teleconferences, we have two members from our region, Devanan and Fatima Cambronero. I know there are news because I am involved in that. So, Dev, Fatima, could you please take the floor and tell us about this? This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Jose. Can you hear me well? So, Fatima speaking. Thank you very much. We will wait for the UN Secretary's speech. In terms of the regional strategy plan, I was about to post what Dev has already posted on the AC room. I sent an email to the list on behalf of Dev and I, sharing the information on this LAC strategy group. We sent a SWOT analysis about the regional strategy to the members of the working group, where the objectives, the action plans, and were included, and we asked you all, members of Lacralo, to help us to comment and to make the necessary comments about these issues, especially taking into account what impacted us as a RALO. This is something that is well known to us because we are part of Lacralo, of course. Based on the preliminary analysis sent by Rodrigo, who is the leader, Rodrigo de la Parra, he's the leader of this working group, I have added some topics or points with this SWOT analysis, and this is being shared with you on the AC room. This is a very preliminary document to start working with. We can work on it, add information or delete information or the necessary points, and this has not been discussed with the whole group. So we post this information for you to review the information, and in case you have any comment, well, we are open to receive the comments. We have seen the comments by Vanda, Natalia, and sorry if I forget someone's name. This working group will have a call this week, And in the first days, on the first day of February, there will be a face-to-face meeting. So we will be meeting the Internet House. So we will, in that situation or in that on that occasion, we will draft a document to submit it for public comment. And the term is, or the objective is, that in the Beijing, in the ICANN public office meeting, we can have a definite or a final document or initiative. As I said before, we do not have enough time, so all the comments, questions, or any issue that you would like to tell us, me or Dev, for our relo, from our relo, we have Banda and Alejandro also participating, so we will welcome you and all your comments, because this will contribute to this regional strategy, to be a strong strategy, and that we can implement it in the short run. So I don't know if I'm leaving something behind, but Dev, if that is the case, please could you take the floor and remind us of that? This is Jose Arzo speaking. Dev, is there any other issue or comment that you would like to add? Otherwise, we can move forward on the agenda items. Okay, Dev, he typed excellent summary, Fatima. So let's move on to point six. I don't know if Carton is online. Carton, would you like to take the floor? Because he will give us an update on the WHOIS working group. This is Jose Arce. Could you please confirm if Carlton is online? Jose, this is Sylvia Helen Leiter. Julia is typing on the ACRU that Carlton is still not online and that they are still trying to reach him. So perhaps we can move forward to the other item on the agenda. Okay, this is Jose Arce speaking. Sylvia, you have the floor. This is Sylvia Helen speaking. We will now talk about item 7. We have Humberto and Juan Manuel online, so I will give the floor to them. I will give the floor to Juan Manuel. He will give us a summary or an update about the communication working group. Juan Manuel, you have the floor. This is Juan Manuel speaking. Good night. So this, when it comes to the communication working group, on December the 10th, we finished the start manual document. We have been working with it, this document. We are now dealing with technical issues. This is our final document. And once we finish with that, we will post and we will make the necessary amendments, and we will post that. The document is on the wiki. We still need to translate the document. I have been on holiday, so I was not able to send the document to the translation department or the language service department. But this is the update up to now. I was talking to Sylvia this afternoon, and I told her that I would like to leave this issue on the hands of the region. And, well, I would like to discuss with you if you believe that the group should remain open or should be closed. To keep on working on communication issues and to deal with the communication issues of the region. Thank you very much. This is Silvia speaking. Thank you very much, Juan Manuel, for your report. So we will wait for the group decision. And if the community has anything to say about this group, well, you can send an email to the list or to directly to Juan Manuel for him to let the members of the group know about this. Now I will give the floor to Humberto. He is the coordinator of the translation working group. Silvia speaking. Humberto, can you hear us? Humberto, we cannot hear you. I see that you are typing on the AC room, but we are not listening to you. While we try to reach Humberto, this is Silvia speaking, I would like to say something in terms of the strategic working group. The coordinator is Alejandro Pisanti. The last call or meeting of this working group was November the 12th. So I will post the link. They are working on the SWOT table and they are now dealing with the details so as to finish with the work. This is a working group that has worked a lot in terms of the governance working group. Hello, Silvia. Can you hear me? This is Silvia speaking. Hello, Humberto. Go ahead, please. This is Humberto speaking. Sorry, but I had some problems in deactivating the mute function of my line. I will be very short in terms of the translation working group. I have been drafting the last version of the final report to put it for the work's consideration. So I will be sending it tomorrow to be posted on the wiki. I think that many of you know about or are aware of the issues of the rules of procedure. I know that Dev withdraw his motion from the Costa Rica agenda. So we are dealing with different issues. On the 24th, we will have a call with the idea of defining whether we would like to submit this report by consensus to be approved by the whole community so that we can approve some motions or proposals. Nothing has been approved yet. I know that you are very short of time, but we invite you to post comments. Jose Arce has made some comments. The idea is that if there is someone who is not a member of the working group but would like to submit a comment, well, that comment will be welcome. So that's all in terms of the translation working group. This is Silvia speaking. Thank you very much, Humberto. So the last group is the governance working group. This working group is quite delayed in terms that they have not been able to draft a final report, but on the 23rd, in 2 days' time, they will meet and I think they will produce results. I know Antonio was on the call, but I don't see him on the AC room. Antonio, are you still connected? Silvia, this is Jose Arce speaking. May I say something? Jose, you have the floor. Jose Arce speaking. Not long ago, Antonio posted a message on the AC room because he had to leave, so I don't think he will be connected. However, I would like to mention two things. One, in terms of the working group. I reiterate something that I said before. It is good that a working group deals with a translation working group. We know we have some differences in terms of certain proposals. For example, Dev proposals in terms of the English and Spanish versions. And in terms of the delay existing in the governance working group, well, we will try to see if we can help them. That's all. Thank you very much, Sylvia. This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you, Jose. The staff is telling us that they were not able to reach Carton, so point six on the agenda will be pending. Perhaps Carton may send his report to the email list. Now we will have to discuss point number eight, any other business. So the floor is open for you to make comments, or if there is any pending issue that you would like to share with the community. Dev, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Devananta Lakshmi speaking. One point regarding the reports of the for item number seven regarding the Lakwalo groups. Recently, at large, staff have been able to work with ICANN to get the transcripts of the various working group calls posted very soon after the, like, about, say, 3 to 4 days after, or even less, actually, to be posted to the posted to the at-large wiki. So, and again, I urge all those persons who are even though they may not have been on the working group call or are interested in following the discussions within the working groups, to please, do read the transcripts and, of course, ask your questions or comments or make your suggestions. So that's one thing. I do have one other item for other business. And this is, of course, related to the untimely passing of Mr. James Corbin. Mr. James Corbin was the ALS representative for the Internet, the Information Society of Barbados, and was one of the signatories to the Lakwalo MOU in 2006 in December when I first met him. He was involved in some of the conference calls, and I believe one of his last working groups he was involved with was the at-large board selection committee, which is the ABBSC. I think we should also acknowledge his passing, and he'll be deeply missed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dev. It was my mistake. We have received, this is Sylvia speaking, we have sent their condolences to his family and to the ALS, so it was my mistake not to mention that at the very beginning of this call. So thank you very much for your reminder, Dev. Any other question or comment? Sylvia speaking. Before moving forward to other topic, I would like to ask Dev, the first part of your comment in terms of the working group, it was not quite clear what he meant.
Thank you. This is Dave speaking. What I meant to say was that now that transcripts of the working group calls are being posted only a few days after the working group has met, everyone in Lakwalo can follow the discussions in the working group far more easily. For example, the translation working group, which met on the, I believe it was the 10th of January, the transcript was made available on the 14th of January. So, two things. I want to first congratulate at-large staff and to ICANN for making transcripts available so soon. And the reason why this is such an important step is because it allows all of us in Lakwalo to follow the work of ICANN at-large and the Lakwalo working groups. So, and this is just a reminder to you know, please follow the discussions, please ask your questions, please make your contributions. So that's it.
This is Sylvia Helen Leiter. Thank you very much. Dev, now your point is very clear. Is there any other comment or question? Otherwise, before ending this call, Sylvia, this is Jose Arso speaking. May I have the floor? Jose, you have the floor. Jose Arso speaking. I will post a link on the AC room. It has to do with an announcement, a recent announcement by ICANN. That is a new service that it is important to share with the community. You can request a speaker online for that person to be the speaker in any conference all around the world. So this is a wonderful tool. ICANN keeps on adding value to the community. So I would like to share that information with you. Please click on the link. It's just a question or a matter of filling a form, and you will be requesting the speaker for your conference. This is for the ALSs that are in our country and that participate in other conferences in terms of a governance issue. So I would like to highlight that issue. Thank you very much, Sylvia. This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you, Jose. That is something very interesting, and I think we can seize this opportunity to use this for our training or capacity building session. After Andres' presentation, I would like to remind you that together with Fatima's help, we have drafted a survey to see and decide all together, because that is the idea, that all the community may participate, to decide what is interesting for the ALSs in order to select the next speakers for our capacity building cycle that was started last year and that we started this year with Andres Piazza. So I will post the link for the survey. I have sent this link to the list. Please, you have 10 days. We have already received many answers. And in this survey, you have the possibility for the ALS's representatives or any member of the ALS's that want to participate or be a speaker in any specific topic. Well, you can detail that information on the survey and be part of this program. So that's all. If there is no other comment or question, I will now give the floor to Jose to bring this call to an end. Thank you very much. This is Jose Arso speaking. So thank you very much, Sylvia. If there are no comments or questions regarding item number 8, which is any other business, I think we can adjourn this call. I see no one has raised their hand. So any comment or question? Jose Arso speaking again. So seeing no comments, I would like to thank all the participants in the Spanish and English channels. I would like to thank the staff and Sabrina and Veronica, our interpreters, who had been working with us and for their excellent job. So thank you very much for your participation, and let's talk in our next call. And let's keep in touch by our email list. So thank you very much.
Thank you to the interpreters.
You're welcome, Dev. Goodbye.
Thank you, Julia, Sylvia.
and to the interpreters for their services.
Thank you very much, everyone.